Sing my Jesus, my Savior. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Lord, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. You believe that this morning? Sing it again. My Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Lord, all of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Lord, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Sing, shout to the Lord. We'll shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing, yeah. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Lord, I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Sing my Jesus. Worship you, Lord, this morning. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. And all of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Lord, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Sing it again. We will shout to the Lord and give him praise. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. I sing for joy. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you, Lord. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to you, Lord. We have a promise, Lord. Have a promise in you, Lord, this morning. We stand on your promises, God. Regardless of the circumstance, we stand on your promise, God. Regardless of the report, we stand on your promise, God. Thus saith the Lord this morning of our life. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord. Stand on my promises, yeah. You can stand on my promises. Oh, yeah. We will shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, sing praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Nothing compares.
Lord, nothing compares to the promise. No, nothing. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Come on, let's give the Lord praise in the house this morning. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shout to the Lord, all the earth.
Hallelujah.
Shout to the Lord.
We worship you, Lord. Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 Would you lift your hands and give Jesus praise in this place? Glory to God. Thank him for the promises that you have in him. The promise that you have in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He is just to carry out which he has started in your life. Hallelujah. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to name. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Sing, nothing compares.
No, nothing compares to the promise.
There is nothing.
Nothing compares.
Nothing compares
to the promise I have.
No, no, no.
Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares.
No one like you, Lord.
Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Nothing, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody sense the presence of the Lord here this morning? Come on, worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Take this time to just bask in His presence. Let Him love on you. Love on Him and let Him love back on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No matter how bleak it may seem, no matter how dismal it may be at times, Lord, you are our hope. You are our light that shines in the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in you.
Nothing, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit.
Nothing compares to Jesus.
How many of you here this morning just need a touch of God in your body? Lift your hand where you are. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to touch you right now. In this place. Come on, lift your hand. You need a touch of God in some way in your body. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the warmness of your presence, God, just to come over your people right now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise for that right now. In the name of Jesus, every shackle, every chain of sickness be broken in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. May your presence just come over them right now. Hope and encouragement and lift up their soul and their spirit, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I believe you. I praise you for your work. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We worship you.
Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. I want to continue with this theme of urgency that the Lord has laid on my heart. How many of you remember last week's message on the coming of the Lord? Anybody remember? How many believe that Jesus is coming back? You truly believe it? You might say, well, how do I know He's coming? I've heard He's coming all my life. Let me tell you this. I'm not re-preaching the message from last week, but this is an introduction to today's message. How many of you know that our concept of time is different than God's concept of time? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. Now, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. How about you? One day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. Then he goes on to say this in verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Because there's a lot of people out there that say that Jesus is not coming back. You might as well forget about that. They scoff at His return. They laugh at the return of Jesus. They laugh at holiness and righteousness and living free from the dominion of sin. They scoff at that. They laugh at that. But the Bible says He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Don't you miss this. He is long-suffering toward us. You know why Jesus hasn't come back? Because He loves people a whole lot more than we do. He cares about the lost a whole lot more than we do. He cares about those who haven't yet received Him as Lord and Savior so that they can escape
the eternal damnation and wrath of hell, just like you have. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the greatest gift of all. You've got Jesus in your life, and you've got the hope of eternal life. He's, oh, glory to God. He's got a long suffering that you and I don't understand, that I want to have a better understanding of. Not willing that any should perish. I'm telling you, people are dying every day, and they're going to a lost place called hell, eternally separated from God forever. Do you care? Do you care? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, there's an urgency. That was the why of urgency, because Jesus is coming back. But I want to talk to you this morning about the what of urgency. It's time to sow. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, it's time to sow. It's time to sow. This message is really encompasses what I feel God has given me as a vision for the church. It's time to sow. I want you to listen closely today. I want you to turn to Psalm 126, verse 1, and let's read it together. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream, that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Verse number 5, and here's where I want to focus, 5 and 6 today. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Would you stretch your hand toward me today and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your anointing. Your anointing makes the proclamation of your word effective and meaningful and powerful. Without your touch, without your spirit, Lord, resting upon me and upon your people, Lord, we can't do anything. We need you to show up and to show out, God, and to speak today. I pray that the words that come forth from my lips today would be anointed from you. They would be heavenly words. They would be divine words. Lord, I'm just here as a vessel, a conduit that you can work through. So I'm asking you to speak to me and speak through me today. And speak to your people, God. Stir us up. Stir us out of our comfort zones, God. Stir us out of those places of complacency. Father, that we may discern the signs of the times, and we may discern how urgent these times are, and we must be about your business and about your work. And I give you praise for what you accomplish. Lord, I bind principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, every hindrance and disturbance. I come against it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for removing everything that's not like you from this atmosphere. Thank you for freedom to bring forth your holy word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. John Wesley, the great founder of Methodism, and to whom we can trace our roots back as the Church of God, said this to his students one day. He said, you have but one business. You have but one business, and that is the salvation of souls. Someone has said, if a man has a soul, and if that soul can be won or lost for eternity, and it can, then the most important work in the world is to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is, we ought to be winning people to Christ, but few Christians are doing it. Let's be honest about it. Some Christians consistently do it, other Christians seldom do it, but Most Christians, according to the statistics, never do it. It is estimated that 95% of all professing Christians have never led a soul to Jesus Christ. That ought to bring a sense of urgency to us today. I said it ought to bring a sense of urgency to us today. No wonder Dr. R.G. Lee said this way, the greatest sit-down strike in the world is in our churches where those who claim to be saved have never yet become fishers of men. What I want to say to those who have done it, who are doing it, or who have never done it, it's time to sow. It's time, you know, and I feel like the Lord has just gripped my heart of late because there's been a lot of talk about the harvest, and I have a heart for the harvest. How many of you have a heart for the harvest out there? I mean, you truly do have a heart for people who are lost, and you want to see people come into the kingdom. But I've got something to tell you today. You and I cannot focus on the harvest until we're willing to sow seeds in it. How ludicrous would it be? How many farmers do we have out there today? Anybody that loves to do a garden or you like to plant things? Raise your hand. Just a few of you. I thought there's more than that, like the garden in this church. How ludicrous would it be for you to not plow the ground, to not cultivate it, to not sow any seed? Are you hearing me? To not do anything to prepare, and yet when harvest time rolls around, you expect that there to be wonderful corn and green beans and potatoes. You want the harvest to be there, but you haven't done anything. How many of you know that if you want to harvest, you got to work at it? You got to work at it. It starts with sowing. I want you to notice, first of all, the task of a soul winner. The psalmist compares the work of a soul winner to that of a farmer. Soul winning is like farming. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 13, which I preached not too long ago on the parable of the sower. He compared witnessing to a farmer sowing his seed. Now, there's different areas we sow. I believe that one of the most important areas that we need to sow is prayer. How many of you know if you can't physically go out and sow seeds of the gospel, you can be praying for those who do. And I've had some already tell me yesterday in the seniors meeting, we were talking about this. They're saying we can't physically go, but we're warriors of God. We're warriors in prayer. We're praying for the harvest, and we're praying for those who are going out and sowing those seeds. But there's others who have the physical ability, who have the capability, but they're so engrossed in everything else. They're not sowing the seeds. It's time to sow. It's time to sow. He said, I want you to go continuously. I want you to go continuously. The psalmist speaks of a soul winner in verse 6 who continually goes forth. The first thing you have to do if you're going to be a soul winner is you've got to go. The word go was one of the favorite words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. When he healed the Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter 5, who had a legion of devils, he had been cutting himself in the tombs night and day. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And Jesus spoke to that legion of demons, and those demons came out of him, and he was free, and he was clothed in his right mind. How many of you know that Jesus can set the captives free? But here's what he wanted to do. The Gadarene demoniac, he wanted to stay with Jesus, and rightly so. There is a time and a place for you and me to be in the presence of Jesus and want to linger in his presence. But here's what Jesus told him. He said, I want you to go home, and I want you to tell your friends what great things God has done for you. And that is what God is saying to you and me. Go and tell your friends, tell the world, tell the lost, sow the seeds of the gospel. Go continuously. We know that the gospel means good news, right? Has it ever occurred to you that the first two letters of the word gospel are G-O, go? Oh, well, take it a step further. Has it ever occurred to you that the first two letters of the word God? Go. Go. There's one thing you can say for a soul winning church. It will be a church on the go. And that church will be a church that is obedient to the mission of Jesus Christ. I've told you this before. What is the one of the last things that Jesus said? What is the last thing he said as he was leaving this earth? He said, go and make disciples. Of all of the things that he could have said, he wanted to impress upon them the most. You've got to take this message I have given you, and now you've got to take it to others who do not know. You've got to reproduce yourself in others, and they will reproduce somebody else, and they will multiply somebody else. That is how the kingdom of God expands. But we've got to be telling this message. If we don't tell it, how can we expect the kingdom of God to grow? We sometimes come down on hard on lost people because they don't come to church. I believe we need to stop condemning sinners for not coming to church to hear the gospel. Perhaps we need to start chiding Christians for not going from the church into the world to share the gospel. Yeah, there may have been a day when sinners would flood into the church. But the last time I checked, I haven't seen sinners flooding into the church anymore. I believe God's trying to stir us up. I said, God's trying to stir us up. There's a harvest outside of here. Is anybody hearing me today? Is anybody hearing the Spirit of the Lord? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. May he make you so uncomfortable. May he make you so miserable that you got to pray and seek the face of God and get a burden for the harvest again. There's one preacher that said, my burden is I don't have a burden. My burden is I don't have a burden. I don't care whether people are lost or not. That, in essence, is what we are saying when we are not willing to go forth and do what he said. To sow the seeds of the gospel. The harvest field's out there. It's where you work. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your homes. It's in the marketplace. That is where the harvest is. If Jesus were right here in the flesh, he wouldn't be visiting a lot of churches, I promise you that, because he wouldn't be welcome there for one thing. But he would go to where people are lost. He would go to where he is welcomed. He would go to where there is a hunger for the gospel message. He would go to where there are people who are hurting and broken and who need healing and who need help, who need deliverance. He would go to the Gadarene demoniacs. He would go to those who have been cutting themselves night and day in the tombs and they feel like there is no hope. But I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is still in the delivering business. He's still saving people who are lost, and he's saving them through you and through me. Will you be a vessel? Will you be a vessel? I thought this was interesting. I read this story and I wanted to share it with you about a sales company that was going bankrupt. They had a sales chart in the office and it showed the sales were going down and down and down. And they called in a hotshot consultant from New York City to see if he could shake things up and get things back on the right track. He walked into the office and he saw on the right side of the wall the sales chart with all the sales statistics going down, down, down. But across on the other side of the room, he noticed there was a map on the wall, and on that map, there were pins stuck on the map. He said to the sales manager, what are these pins in this map for? He said, well, these, you see, this is a map of our city, and every place we have a pin stuck is where we have a salesman. And this consultant looked at the chart. It showed sales going down to the bottom. He looked at the map with all these pins stuck in it. He scratched his head and he said, I know exactly what this company needs to do. The sales manager excitedly said, what is that? He said, we need to take the pins out of the map and put them in the salesman. Well, I'll let you draw the spiritual conclusion there in the spiritual analogy. It's time to get going. I said, it's time to get going. What else has he got to tell us? What else? I mean, what other sign do we need to see in the world? What else do we need to see that's evil? And what other kind of rampant sin do we need to witness? And what other kind of shootings do we need to witness to understand that Jesus is coming back soon, that he's trying to get his church ready, that people are lost, and they need to hear this wonderful message we have? It doesn't have to be complicated. It just needs to be the simple message of the cross, the simple message that Jesus died for them, the simple message that Jesus loves you, the simple message that you will call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. There is a better way. There's a better answer. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. We need to pay attention and we need to go continuously. Continuously. But we also need to sow consistently. He said, we're to go forth bearing seed for sowing. Now that literally says bearing a bag of seed. Or it could also be translated leaving a trail of seed. I like that. Leaving a trail of seed. Here's the picture of a farmer walking up one row and down the other, up this furrow and down the other, continuously dropping seed. Dropping seed. You see, that's the job that God has given us to do. It is not the job, the farmer's job to force the harvest. It is simply his job to sow the seed. It is God's job to give the harvest. How many of you know you can't make that seed grow? All you can do is put it in the ground. It's a miracle from God that makes that seed grow. Hallelujah. And when you sow that seed, God is able to take it. He's able to do something with it because you have obeyed him. Secondly, notice the tears of a soul winner. The farmer here is not only described as working, and we got to work hard if we want to reap a harvest. We got to sow some seeds. But while we're sowing those seeds, listen to me, church. There ought to be some tears associated with them. How many of you remember me saying a few weeks ago, we ought to break in this carpet with saturating it with tears? I mean, just filling these altars with tears over people who are lost, people who are lost in your family, who are lost in this community, who are lost in your neighborhood. We need a burden again for the lost. We often talk about burdens. And we often talk about how we need to lay our burdens down and we need to turn our burdens over to the Lord. And you see, that's one aspect of it. But how many of you know that God doesn't want us to give him all of our burdens? Some of those burdens we need to keep for ourselves. We need to keep this burden for the lost on our hearts. That kind of burden we don't need to roll over onto the Lord. What we need for the Lord to roll that burden over onto us. And because we're the ones that's supposed to take this gospel message to the ends of the earth, it's not God's responsibility to save them. He called us to be conduits in which he could use us to save them, to be vehicles of his power. Tears. Those who sow in tears, the Bible says, shall reap in joy. I found myself just weeping more lately, just weeping. Just crying. I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with crying. Tears are a language that God understands. We need some more tears in the church again. We need some tears. People are broken. People are weeping. People are crying out because if you'll do that, he says you'll reap in joy. There's something about sowing that seed, the seed of tears. I'm telling you, God understands that language. Hallelujah. God will move through that brokenness. You see, soul winning is not just a matter of the head. Soul winning is a matter of the heart. It's tears that motivate the toil. It is the weeping that stands behind the work. Let's just be real honest. The reason why we do not witness more than we do is because we do not care more than we do. Greg Laurie says it this way in our study on Sunday nights, and I encourage you to come be a part of that when we have that study. He says, effective sharing starts with caring. It's true, isn't it? You know, we ought to be weeping this morning because we're not weeping. We ought to be weeping because we don't care enough. You know, oftentimes we do our children a disservice. Have you ever noticed how we try to teach children not to cry? Oh, be a big boy, be a big girl. Don't cry. Only babies cry. I'm here to tell you that tears are a language that only God understands, and we should be teaching our kids. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry before the Lord. It's okay to cry out to Him, because God is looking for some people who are willing to weep and cry out. How many of you know that Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet? That's right. The weeping prophet. He wept so profusely that he became known as the weeping prophet. He said in Jeremiah 9:1, he said, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Paul, the greatest missionary who ever lived, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, here's what he said in Acts 20:31. "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years, 3 years, hear me, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." I mean, he was crying out to the Lord. He was weeping consistently for 3 years. The problem with the modern day church is it's so filled with technology and it's so filled with programs, but it's empty of tears. It's empty of repentance. It's empty of crying out to God. And then we wonder, why is there no revival? Why is there not an outpouring of God like we want to see and we want to experience? I'm telling you, it will come when we get back to prayer and we get back to crying out to the Lord and we get back to shedding some tears again and we weep before the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that what we read about in the book of Joel? They wept. The priest, he said, "Let the priest weep between the porch and the altar for my people. They have strayed. They have sinned. But if you will stand in the gap, if you'll weep for them, my spirit will get a hold of them and draw them back." I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing people back into a right relationship with the Lord and get them ready for the coming of Jesus. I believe there's something wrong when we don't cry. That's right. I think there's something wrong when we don't weep over a lost soul that are on their way to hell. How many of you believe in heaven, right? You looking forward to heaven? I am. I had the most beautiful dream the other night I think I've ever had. I dreamed that I was on this flight and I was going to this, and I just opened up all of a sudden in the dream and I was in this beautiful place that was so glorious and so majestic. I believe it was a picture of what's ahead. When I woke up and it was such a peace that came over me. I'm telling you, there is an eternal abode waiting on the child of God. That ought to excite us. But while I'm headed that way, I want to take as many as I can with me. My task here on this earth is to take as many souls with me as I can. And your task is to take as many with you as you can. There's people that you can win that I can never reach. Young people, there's people that you can reach I can never reach. And God has given us a responsibility to sow the seeds. If you don't sow, you won't get a harvest. And lastly, notice the triumph of the soul winner. God promises a special blessing to anyone who will be loving enough to obey Him and bold enough to serve Him in this matter of winning people to Jesus. Look at what He said in verse 6. "He who continually goes forth bearing seed for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Hallelujah. The greatest joy, I believe, of a Christian life And the greatest joy in all of life is when you win a lost soul to Jesus Christ. Has anybody, I'm not trying to put anybody down that hasn't, but would you just testify that you have led somebody to the Lord before, and what a joy it brought to your life. I'm telling you, for me, there is no greater joy when I can lead somebody to Jesus and they say the sinner's prayer and I'm able to help disciple them and help them in this walk with the Lord. There's no greater joy than to know that I've helped someone come to know Jesus and escape eternity away from God. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the gospel, once said it this way. Even if I were utterly selfish and had no care for anything but my own happiness, I would choose if I might under God to be a soul winner. For never did I know perfect, overflowing, unutterable happiness of the purest, most ennobling order until I first heard of one who had sought and found the Savior through my means. No young mother so rejoiced over her firstborn child. No warrior was so exalted over a hard-won victory. We ought to go, and when we go, we are to sow. We ought to go, and we ought to sow, and when we sow, we will grow. How many of you know that if we will sow those seeds, we will see them grow, because God will make them grow. And the kingdom of God will expand. And those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. There's going to be joy that comes. How many of you know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning? It won't always be a season of weeping, but I'm telling you right now, I believe it's a time to weep. You read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there's a time to sow, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up, there's a time to weep. I believe it's a time to weep. I believe it's a time to cry out to the Lord for the sins of this nation and this world and the community and the city in which we live. I'm telling you, Asheville is sin infested, but you and I can make a difference. We can be a light right here in the middle of this city. We can be a lighthouse upon this hill like never before. I'm telling you, it's time to go as a church. In verse number 5, one more time, he says, we shall reap in joy. The harvest is sure. Why? Because God guarantees it. How many know if God guarantees it, you can bank on it? You can bank on it. The harvest is sweet. It will bring rejoicing. It will bring joy. Hallelujah. It will be satisfying because we will reap exactly what we have sown. Hallelujah. Even if there's others who come by and water it, how many of you know that God is the one who gives the increase? I said God gives the increase. It's not important who the sower is or who the waterer is. It's important that we're obeying the Lord and doing what He's called us to do. We need to be scattering seed like never before, scattering seed and letting God do His work. He said, we'll bring our sheaves with us. Sheaves represent the fruits of our labor. How many of you believe if we start doing the right things and we put the plan into place and we start acting on the plan and we start executing the plan of going to all the world, that there'll be fruits from our labor? Do you believe that? I believe it because God guarantees it. He guarantees it. The harvest is satisfying because we have been obedient to His word.